By the way, this year, Christmas Eve is early. Our service is at 5 o'clock. You'll be out by 6 o'clock so you can have your family dinner after the service. So that's a different time, so keep that in mind. It's going to be a great service, and we hope that you'll be a part of it this Christmas Eve. We're in the second week of our new series entitled Living the Christmas Life. Last week, we looked at the person of Mary, that she lived a life of courage and faith and surrender. And that's the kind of life that we're called to live, a life of courage and faith and surrender. And this morning, we're looking at the shepherds. Now, I have always liked shepherds. I'm not sure why. My dad used to share sheep, and I used to help him catch them to share them. I don't know if that's why I like being the shepherd thing, but I think it was mainly I like wearing a bathrobe and having a cane for Christmas plays. That was kind of a fun thing as a kid. I enjoyed that. You may love the shepherds because of Linus. Remember, Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas recites the story of the shepherds. And in case you missed that, you're going to see it right now.
Opens Charlie Brown completely hopeless.
Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What's all about, Charlie Brown?
Network executives wanted to cut the scene from the special. They said, you can't read a long passage from the King James Version on national television. And Charles Schulz, who is the creator of Charlie Brown, said, if we don't tell them the Christmas story, who will? And as it turned out, Linus reading out of that Christmas special was highly acclaimed and very popular among the people as they listened to it. There's some important and simple things that we learn from the shepherd story from this passage. The first is the gospel is good news for everyone. Just as shocking as it was that God said, I'm going to come and live among you so that you can see who I am. Just as shocking as it was that God came to a virgin girl named Mary, a nobody, and said, you will bear the very Son of God. It's equally shocking that the people who announce this new child, this Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is not a priest or a rabbi or a king. It's some shepherds outside Bethlehem. Now, the shepherds are used as a metaphor several places in the Bible. In the Old Testament, God is referred to as a shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. And that symbol of a shepherd is kind of cool to us. We don't get how shocking it was for shepherds to be elevated to the place of proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Mainly because most of us don't know what shepherds do. They shep sheep, whatever that means, you know. But in the first century, in Jewish life, shepherds were the low end of the totem pole. They were not respected. They were not part of the elite society. They were looked down on and considered low class. The reason they were looked down on and considered low class is that they were not able to keep all of the Jewish rituals. Because of their job, they couldn't always do the holidays and the festivals that they were supposed to do. They couldn't keep all the strict Judaism teachings. So if you were a shepherd, there were these basic assumptions about you. One, that you were not particularly devout spiritually. Two, that you were not very well educated. And three, that you were certainly not affluent. You were kind of the bottom rung of the social ladder. And God chooses to reveal His incarnation. The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. To an uneducated group of shepherds outside Bethlehem. Why would He choose to do that? I believe God wanted us to know the gift was for everyone, not just the pretty, not just the influential, not just the smooth talkers, the ones who were the life of the party, but also the ones who sat in the corner and wondered, will anybody even know that I'm here or even notice me? The message to the shepherds was very clear. Every person on this planet is dear to God. If we are precious to God, and that's what He tells us, it says that He notices the ones that no one else notices. John Trent's a Christian psychologist. He's an author, and he was invited to speak on a radio talk show. And the host of the show was a young man named Danny, very persuasive, beautiful speaker, despite the fact that he was paraplegic from birth. And as John came on the show, Danny asked him, John, would you like to know why I host a radio show? He said, yeah, I really would. He said, it's because someone handed me a light. And he just kind of left it there. John goes, okay, I'll bite. What's the light? He shared that when he was in junior high school, you know, all junior highs are kind of nervous about how they fit in and how things are going to work out. He goes, boys and girls were very insecure, you know. Will somebody ask me to the dance or will they dance with me when we're there? He goes, but my insecurity far exceeded that. My concern was, will my wheelchair fit into the classrooms that were not designed for wheelchairs? Will I be able to go from classroom to classroom? Danny felt lonely and left out. And most of all, he didn't know if God could ever use his life until his family took him to church and he went to Mr. Barton's Sunday school class. Mr. Barton was a junior high teacher for years. Nobody else wanted to teach the junior highs, but somehow Mr. Barton seemed to have an affinity for them. And he had this incredible ability to kind of point out to them God's plan for their lives. So one Sunday after the bell rang and the kids were all leaving and their parents were coming to pick them up, Mr. Barton asked Danny if he would stay behind for a moment. He said, Danny, do you know why I call on you to read in Sunday school class each week? And Danny goes, well, I guess it's because I'm a good reader. He goes, yeah, you really are a good reader, but more than that, Danny, I'm just surprised. You have this incredible speaking voice. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if God uses you someday to serve Him as perhaps a pastor or a speaker or a Christian DJ. Just 7 seconds changed the course of Danny's life. 7 seconds and 2 sentences. They kind of became a shining path to his future. Just as God came so long ago to the angels, speaking to shepherds in a field, he came to Danny in a Sunday school class taught by a guy named Mr. Barton. The message is the same. God does not put labels and limitations on our lives. He sees how he can use us for his honor and for his glory. We need a lot more angels and Mr. Bartons and teachers and parents whispering words into the lives of children that they're not ordinary people. They are special and called by God for a purpose. I bring you glad tidings of great joy that will be to all people. These glad tidings came to lowly shepherds. These glad tidings came to a paraplegic named Danny. And they come to you. You may consider yourself a failure. God does not. He does not love you any more than anyone else, but he does not love you less than anyone else. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Many people tend to see God as an angry person. And sometimes we in the church are the reason for that. We're guilty of that. I had a good friend years ago. He took his children to visit his parents. And his little girl was sitting there. And after the service, she said, "Dad, why is that preacher so mad?" And he goes, "Well, honey, he's not mad." She goes, "Well, his face looks just like yours does when you're mad at me, you know." God did not come in anger. John tells us clearly who Jesus is and why he came. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The message of Christmas is that the whole world walks on level ground. If you are a shepherd boy or a sheik, if you work in the mail room or the boardroom, if you fly first class or you ride a bicycle, if you live in a first class world or first world or a third world country, God loves each of you and he wishes his peace and his purpose for every single soul in the world. Second thing we learn from this simple story is the gospel is built on personal experience. There's a huge difference between knowing God and knowing about God. The shepherds heard the testimony of the angels. That's pretty impressive, right? You know, if we had some angels flying here this morning and say, "Hey, I'm going to tell you something," you guys would be really pretty much in awe, right? I know I would be. But it's interesting, the shepherds do not repeat what the angels said. I remember I had a professor in a master's levels class, and I was called on to share about a particular subject. And I quoted several pretty impressive people, and I thought I did a really great job. And at the end of my discourse, the professor said, "That's all very nice. Now tell me what you know personally about the subject." I was telling him what everybody else knew. He goes, "I want to know what you know about the subject." The shepherds decided they had to see for themselves, so they go to Bethlehem. I don't know if they went in shifts because somebody had to watch the sheep, but they go to Bethlehem. It's not enough just to hear the news from the angels. They wanted to see for themselves. So they sought out this baby that was born. There are folks who spend their whole life hearing the story about Jesus. You come to church, you listen to countless sermons, you go to Sunday school classes, but you've never really checked him out for yourself. You know what others say about him, but you have not personally experienced him. He's a personal Savior. Sharon was a doubter, not because she meant to be. It was a result of the terrible circumstances of her life. When she was 6 years old, her father left home. And he kept saying, I'm going to come back and see you. And she would get ready for Daddy to come, and Daddy never showed up. 6 months after her father left, her mother met another man and married him. And this was his words: you are my wife first, and she is second. And in 6 months, she lost her father and lost what little relationship she had with her mother. Broken dreams, broken promises, broken hearts. That's the stuff of doubt and mistrust in our minds. So it's no wonder that Sharon's doubt and mistrust carried over into her marriage. Try as she might, she could never really feel secure in her husband's love, that he truly loved her and really cared about her. Not that he gave her any reason. He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful Christian. He stayed consistent through a 4-year courtship in which she broke the engagement 3 times. He had never given her any doubt to doubt his love in their 8 years of marriage. But Sharon could not trust him until the day the insurance nurse came to their home. Alan had wanted to renew his insurance policy, so he had to have a physical. It required some blood work and an EKG. And after the male nurse showed up there and did the blood work and took the EKG, Alan went back to the bedroom to get dressed for work. And that's when it happened. The nurse was putting away the EKG machine and was gathering up his things, and he said to Sharon, "You're one lucky lady. Your husband really loves you." And she was a little embarrassed. She goes, "Yeah, thanks." He goes, "No, I mean, I can prove it." She said, "What do you mean? You can prove it." And he got out the EKG reading. And he said, "This was the activity for a couple of minutes here. And it was just straight lines across." He goes, "This is what happened when you walked into the room. His blood pressure changed. It began to spike up because you were important to him." And tears of joy flooded Sharon's face. Finally, she got the picture. Her husband loved her. She couldn't deny it. The shepherds saw for themselves, not just what the angels said, they saw for themselves the love of God that he had sent to all of us. And I do not believe those shepherds were ever the same again. We're not saved by knowing all the details of salvation. We're saved by a one-on-one encounter with Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you experience his love, when you see the evidence of his love in others, there's no denying that Christ came for you and Christ came for me. The third thing we learn from the shepherd story is that the experience is to be shared. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which had been told them by the shepherds. Some people have a rather distorted view of what it means to share the gospel. They think sharing the gospel is selling the gospel. I learned a bunch of different gospel presentations growing up in the church and as a pastor. The Roman road, the EE questions, the bridge. Many of you know those different methods of sharing the gospel. And some of them were helpful, but some of them were designed for a person at point A to get to point B to get to point C. Point A being minding your own business. Point B being convincing them they were going to hell. And point C being to persuade them to accept Jesus Christ through a series of yes answers. There was no doctrinal error, but it was a sales pitch. You could have replaced salvation with a car, and you could have sold a lot of cars. Many people believe that sharing their faith means convincing people that they're wrong and converting them to your way of thinking. If the gospel were based on bad news, that kind of witness would be appropriate. But the gospel isn't based on bad news. It's based on good news. The good news is it's for everyone. It's about a God who loves people, who has come as their Savior and Deliverer and their guide for living this life. Do you think the shepherds went from village to village saying, you're going to hell if you don't turn to Jesus? I don't think so. I think they repeated the angel's words. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Sharing the gospel does not mean that you become God's salesman. It means that you become God's reporter. Sharing the gospel means telling the folks around you, wherever you go and whenever you have an opportunity, of all the good things that God has done in your life and all the amazing things that you've seen Him do in the lives of others. You don't have to convince people or convert people. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, and He's pretty good at it. He's the one who converts and convinces people. The best way to share the gospel is by giving yourself. You share the love of God by showing others what the love of God looks like. When I was a youth pastor in Chesterfield, Indiana, there was a family that was heavily involved in the life of our church. And one evening, their 16-year-old son was turning left into the driveway of their house on a little country road like the country roads here. And a drunk driver came over the hill, hit him head on, and he died. I can't think of a more horrible event to take place in your front yard. The family fought bitterness and anger. A few years later, they came to visit us as I was pastoring in Clearwater, Florida. And they had with them another boy from our youth group. A boy that came from a tough family in a tough situation. And his parents had died. And they had taken him in to raise him as their son. His life was transformed by their generosity and their faith. I thought about those folks, and what I thought of was how personally they were living out their faith of who God is. Instead of bitterness, they chose to show the love of Christ, and it changed a young man's life forever. They demonstrated in a very personal way how Christ can take even tragedy and turn it into hope. The gospel is built on personal experience. And once you've had that personal experience with Christ, it's impossible not to share it. You've got to share it with others, just like those shepherds did on that Christmas evening. When I was pastoring at Whitechapel Church in Daytona, it was probably one lady in our church that brought more people to church than anyone else in the church. She was very unassuming, very quiet. Her husband claimed to be an atheist, never came to church. And yet, every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning, Charlotte loaded up her van with kids from the neighborhood. She brought all these kids on Wednesday night. She brought all these kids on Sunday morning. She helped them go to state youth convention. She was constantly, in her very quiet way, exposing young people to Jesus. You don't have to be loud to be persuasive. All you need is to report to others what Jesus has done for me. The shepherd story reminds us that we're all on equal ground before God. We're equally loved. We're equally lost. We're equally in need of a Savior. The Savior that has come to us, and His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Christ, our Lord. And as a Savior, He can save you from the mess that you've made of your life. As Savior and Messiah, He can deliver you from the bondage of sin, the bondage of hate, the bondage of addiction, and the bondage of a painful past. As Lord, He can control your life and make it something great. And He can lead you to live a life that has purpose for now and for all eternity. So what do? We do like the shepherds. Every day of our life, we seek out Jesus. We go where He is. We experience Him personally. We get into His presence. We know Him as Savior, Christ, and Lord. And like the shepherds, you will find yourself saying, glorifying and praising God for all the things we have seen and heard. Let's pray. Father, this morning, many of us are shepherds. We're not particularly impressive. We don't have the cool gifts. We're not amazing, but You're amazing. And all You've asked us to do is to tell others what You've done in our lives. So, Father, I pray that if there's people here today that don't have a testimony, that God hasn't done anything because we haven't allowed You to, that they would say yes to You today. And Lord, if there's some of us that feel like somehow we've got to make it happen, remind us that we just need to allow Your Holy Spirit to work through us to provide the witness the world needs to hear. As these young people lead us again in worship today, Father, open our hearts to Your Spirit as You call us to You. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?